Hallelujah. How many is really glad to be in the house of God today? Amen. Are you glad? Are you glad about who you are, what you are, where you're going? Amen. We're not out on a, we used to say a wild goose chase. Amen. In other words, not knowing where you're going, just wherever that goose leads you. Amen. But we are on a journey today. We're pilgrims and strangers passing through a world that's much different than we are. Amen. But we have a city not made by hands. Amen. But the hands of God, eternal in heaven. How many really wants to go there someday? Hallelujah. That's when I get up every morning. I think it may be today. It may be. Amen. You know, I'm looking forward to this revival. I'm anticipating. You know, the first is always something. You will make history this week, amen, of this church. And probably as I look back over the 50 years of history that we celebrated a few years ago in Walkerton, amen, of our local assembly, I remember looking at some of those names. Some of them are going on to be with the Lord, amen, and God knows who they are today. But I'm glad I'm going to be here, be a part of history, amen, because God wants bigger and better. I know my brother-in-law, Brother Hainer, is going to be here on Saturday. And you don't want to miss that because he is, I can tell you, he's on a Holy Ghost high. He's Michigan District Sunday School man, and they have had crusades. I think he told me 60, 80 kids received the Holy Ghost during those crusades across Michigan. In a week's time, he drove 1,500 miles. Amen. He struggled, and I'm hurrying today. Hey, can you listen real quick? Amen. I'll talk real quick and try to get out of here, but as he came home and they've been working real hard, they had an opportunity in their city last week to be out on a grand stage for a huge festival in South Haven, Michigan. Amen. And their choir, their worship team was out there. And they asked, said before anybody else books you, can you come back next year? We have never heard singing and playing and felt anything like we felt here today. Amen. They've been struggling 50, 60 in their congregation. The devil just sort of sent a tornado through a year or two ago. They've been struggling their ways back up to in the 70s. Amen. And I got a text just before I came in here that we broke our record today, 205 people. Amen. I think God wants to do that in Winnemac, Indiana. I wish somebody would stand to your feet and say, I'm ready. I'm ready, Lord, for revival like you want to send to our city. God bless.
Hallelujah. The good news is this church was a part of that festival he was just talking about because we didn't have a drummer that day. We loaned him to them, and he was their drummer for that festival that they asked them to come back. So we may lose a drummer next year for one Sunday, but I'm willing to give them up if they can break records. How about you? In Jesus' name. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Oh, it is a delight and a treat to have one of my favorite preachers in the world to hear preach, and two of the finest people of God you'll ever want to meet is Brother and Sister Balt. They are great people, dear friends of ours. We love them very, very much. I remember one particular day my boy was ill, and we at the campgrounds, and we sought this man out to come pray for our little boy. That's the confidence we have in his touch and his walk with God. And we do appreciate him very much. And it is such a treat to let you in on such a great man of God. And I am honored to say someday he'll be gone on to be with the Lord. And we can look back and say he preached at Winnemac United Pentecostal Church, New Beginnings Family Fellowship one day. Amen. How many of you will get behind this man of God and help him preach today? In Jesus' name, Brother Balt, come preach to us.
Thank you, Brother Smith. Praise the Lord, everybody. Ain't God good? Hallelujah. I love him. I love him. I love him. Praise God. I am excited to get to be in Winnemac. I can't wait till I get a chance to call Arizona and tell my aunt that used to live here in Winnemac. She lived here for several years. She lived in midnight. That was, now I'm talking like, oh my goodness, 65, 70 years ago. But because she lived in Mississippi for about 20 years. She's lived in Arizona for probably 30 or 40 years. So it's been a long time. But Every time I'm in Winnemac, I always call her and tell her. And she says, well, I'd like to go there sometime. So it's just exciting to be in Winnemac with Brother and Sister Smith. Amen. And it's exciting to be in Walkerton with Brother and Sister Smith up there. And just, it's just exciting. You know, I tell people all the time, you know, Brother Smith, when you're as rotten as I am, it's exciting to be any place more than one time. You know what I mean? Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. It's so good to have my wife with me today. And if it's all right, I'd like to have her to testify. Yes, she'd stand. I did not think about it, tell her ahead of time, but. Praise God. She's talking about when we started out, because we started the church. We home missioned a church in Plainfield, Indiana. So that's what she was talking about there, that we know what it's like, and it's exciting. Praise God. But I want to give you what I feel God dealt with me about. I have been very covered up in some work and also trying to study for three messages for today. And so God dealt with me. Now, what I'm getting ready to preach to you, I have preached along these lines before, but I can't say I've preached this same thing, but I have preached along these lines, and I'm just using basically some of the notes that I had already used before. And when Brother Smith asked me about coming up here, I said I would, but time-wise, I wasn't, because I didn't know till yesterday that I was coming up here, and I was right in the middle of studying something I had never, ever seen before, to preach this morning at Walkerton. And so it takes me a long time to study, and I'm not as smart as some of y'all are probably, and so I have to study for a long time to come up with what I feel God wants. So if you've got your Bibles, if you would stand in reverence to God's Word, I want to go to Mark, the 4th chapter. I want to go to the 38th verse. Mark the 4th chapter. Mark the 4th chapter, verse number 38. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow. And they wake him and said unto him, Master, carest not that we perish? Back up there in the middle, or at the beginning of the verse, it said, and he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep. If I can title a message very simply today, it's going to be something like this. Jesus. Say this with me. Jesus. Pilot. Passenger. Or left on the shore. Is he a pilot in our life? Is he a passenger in our life? Or have we just left him on the shore? Brother Smith, would you pray?
Dear Lord, we love you. We thank you, God, for this opportunity one more time to hear your word. We ask that your anointing would rest upon us, God. We ask you to convict us, change us, purge our minds of us, God. But let your scripture penetrate us and do something inside of us that we can't do to ourselves. Minister through him right now. In Jesus' name we pray.
Praise God. You may be seated. You know, a lot of times we you've traveled with people that when they're driving, sometimes you kind of wish that you was the one driving. and then there's times that I've been driving and I wish somebody else was driving. I would rather be set back, relaxed, and, you know, let me give you a perfect example. Today, we left Walkerton, and we came down here, and Pastor Smith was driving, and it was raining so hard, if you looked out sideways, it was probably stacking rain about 3 inches deep on the clotheslines. You know, it was raining. And I didn't have no idea where I was going. I know I was going to where we at? Winnemac. I know we was going to Winnemac, but I didn't have no idea how to get there. I was glad he was driving. Now, he might have been running 75 mile an hour, it seemed like, in that kind of condition, but I was still glad he was driving. But then there's other times that when I know the road and somebody else is driving, you get into some kind of a mess, and I thought, boy, I wish I was driving. You know? But when we come to Jesus Christ in our life, we've got to make up our mind. He is the one that knows the road. He is the one that knows the direction. He knows where we're going. He knows every bump in the road we're going to hit. And it's time that we just let Him be the pilot and say, Jesus, just take me the way You want to go. Amen. Lord, it don't matter to me how we get there. It don't matter to me how we go. God, You just do the work and You do the pilot and let me just follow Your steps and Your direction. You be the pilot. I was thinking, you know, when I was reading this, I was thinking about a little story I heard one time about a storm. And the story goes that there's a Christian army officer along with his family was at sea in a storm. And there was a great terror among the family, but he was calm. His wife was very upset and told him he ought to be concerned for her and the children in such danger. You know how wives are sometimes, you know. If you don't care for yourself, at least care for me and the kids. You know? I just throw that in. Even if he wasn't cared for himself, and if he wasn't even worried for himself, at least be worried about the wife and kids. And he made no reply, but pretty soon he came to her with a drawn sword. And with a stern countenance, he pointed it right at her heart. She was not the least bit alarmed, but looked up into his face with a smile and said, "What?" And he said, "Are you not afraid of a drawn sword at your breast?" And she said, "No, not when I know that it's in the hands of the one that loves me." And he said, "Would you think that I should be afraid in the one that I know in the hands of the one that holds the storm and holds me in her hand? You think I should be afraid? Because He loves me. He loves me. We've got Him, and we are riding with Him, and He loves us. He loves me. He loves you. And so we need to just say, Lord, I just want to ride with You, Lord. I see signs. Now, if you've got this, if you've got this on your car, please forgive me what I'm getting ready to say, because I'm not here to offend anybody. But if you've got a sign on the front of your car that says, "Jesus is my co-pilot," shame on you. The sign should say, "Jesus is my pilot." That's right. You know, Jesus is my pilot. You know, a lot of times, and there's a lot of people has the problem. I thank God. I thank God for my wife, and I mean this. In 50 years we've been married, you know, she has never one time, you know, there's a lot of people that's married to women or women that's married to men that if they're driving, all they're doing is turn the steering wheel. She's doing the driving, sitting over here. You know, sitting over here saying, "Turn this way, turn that way, do this, do that, do that." She's just, you know, just doing the driving for him. All he's just doing is sitting there, turning the steering wheel, you know. But I don't have that problem. I don't have that problem. But we need to be in a day and an hour and a way when we're saying, "Jesus, You're the pilot. You just tell me which way to turn the steering wheel. Jesus, I'm just along for the ride. You just take over and you take me the direction I need to go. If I need to turn right, You tell me. Amen. If there's something ahead that I need to avoid, You tell me. If I need to go the other direction, Lord, You get me turned around and go in the right direction. I want You on board. I want You to be my pilot. Praise God. Praise God. All right, Brother Smith, are you ready to read? Do you have another microphone? All right. You've been there before and done that. Go for the 35th verse. Tell them when you change verses.
And the same day.
You don't have to stand up, brother, because you're going to be getting up and down. Well, why don't you just get another mic and get back up here and sit down?
And the same day.
And the same day.
When the evening was come.
When the evening was. Can I tell you something? We are in the evening of man's day of grace. Time is almost over. Brother Smith and I, we were talking about it on the way down here. People are so non-concerned and so nonchalant. If the time we live in and the things that's going on in our world today, amen, I don't see how time can go on much longer. We are living in the evening time of man's day of grace. Right. It's just almost over. But he said, in the evening time, read.
He saith unto them.
He said unto them.
Let us pass over unto the other side.
He said unto them, we need to stick right here. There's a lot to be done.
Let us pass over unto the other side.
All right. Let us pass over to the... Brother Smith a while ago, Pastor Smith, old man Smith. No. Daddy Smith, I'll get it right in a minute. They're both brothers, Pastor Smith, so forgive me for getting them mixed up, but it's hard to get them mixed up. One's Whitehead, one ain't. But Brother Smith, a while ago when he was talking, he said something about, we know where we're going, we just want to get, you know, just we're working that way. I was thinking about what I had in my notes. I thought maybe he might have seen my notes a while ago or something. But we, Jesus said, let us go to the other side. Jesus already knew. Amen. It's time to get ready to go to the other side. Brother Smith, we're living in a day. We better be ready to go to the other side. Amen. Jesus is just about ready to come and take a people to the other side. Let us get ready. Let us go. Amen. Jesus knew what he had in mind. Jesus knew what was going on when he said, let us go to the other side. He didn't say, let's just sit around here. There's, you know, stuff to be done here. We can sit here and twiddle our thumbs or whatever. No, he said, let us go to the other side.
Right.
It won't be long. We're going to be leaving to the other side. It's almost time. We know where we're going and how many want to go there. He said, and Brother Smith said a while ago, we know where we're going, how many wants to go there. I want to go to the other side. That's right. What it's all about.
Right.
That's what it's all about. Read.
And when he had sent away the multitude.
And when he had did what?
And when he had sent away the multitude.
And when, one more. Are you reading in a King James Version?
And when he had sent away the multitude.
I want to tell you something, baby. The multitude is not going to the other side. When he said, and when they had sent away the multitude, right now, this very day, we are a minority. But the time's coming, Brother Smith, when we will be the majority.
That's true.
Because the multitude is not going to make it. I thought, you know what? The Bible tells us that the straight is the way, narrow is the gate, and few there be in Matthew, and few there be that is going to find it. They're just not going to go to the other side. Amen. But we're ready. We need to go. We need to try to go. But some people, amen, they're ready to go. And somehow it's like we need to examine where our life is and Jesus is in our life. When we're headed to the other side, we need to examine that. Amen. Everybody wants to go to the other side. Everybody. You talk to anybody just about, they want to go to the other side.
It's true.
But some of them, they want it to, as Jesus to be their pilot. Some of them, they just want Jesus to go along for the ride.
It's true.
And some of them just leave him on the shore and they want to try it by themselves.
That's right.
You know, I think I can make it alone. I can make it. I don't need church. I'm a good guy. I'm a good lady. I've never done all this. I've never done all that. I can make it to the other side by myself. But honey, I'm here to tell you what. You will not make it to the other side by yourself.
That's true.
You will be in the multitude that's turned away. You will be in the multitude that's sent away. You've got to be, amen, when Jesus is the pilot. It's got to be a situation, amen, that you're going to be in His care. Amen, where He's the one that is the pilot and the guide that says this is what it takes. This is what you need to do. Amen, when He said that we need to repent of our sins. When He said we need to be baptized in Jesus' name. When He said we need an infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Honey, He wasn't just setting that, amen, to just to have something to say. When He gave Peter the keys to the kingdom, amen, He gave it there for a reason, because He wants to be a pilot in somebody's life. He don't want to just be a passenger on your boat. Amen, He don't want to just be just someone that's along for the ride. Amen, He wants to, you know, we have a boat down at our house in Florida, and we take our grandkids or go out, and we go out on the lake. There's a big lake right down about a mile from our house, and we go out on that big lake with the boat. And our grandkids, they was like, oh, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 years old, and or on the campgrounds. You come up to the campgrounds, and if you got a golf cart, and I don't care how little a kid is, they don't ever want to just sit there and ride, Brother Smith. They want to be the driver. Said, now if you want to go with me, you'll sit over there and ride. I don't want to ride. You know, it sounds like some of us adults when Jesus wants to be the pilot.
That's true.
You know, I want to drive. Oh, my. We need to let Him drive. We need to let Him. I want to get there safe.
That's right.
I want to get there safe. You know, there's sometimes, one little girl one time at the campground, she was about 9 years old maybe, and her mom and dad had been letting her drive around, and you probably remember this, I don't know, but her mom and dad had been letting her drive around for 2 or 3 years maybe with her on there, and this little girl one day, she's driving with just her mommy there. And she told her mom, says, Mom, I got a surprise for you. This actually happened. I got a surprise for you. Shut your eyes. Now, they're talking to a little girl that's about 8 or 9 years old. So, Mom, shut your eyes. Waiting on a surprise. This little girl floored it on his golf cart and kerwham right into a telephone pole just to see if it'd stop her. Surprised her, put her mom in the hospital with stitches. They took her to the hospital, didn't put her in the hospital, took her to the emergency room because she had stitched up and all this kind of stuff because she wanted a surprise. Amen. She wanted to drive. Honey, if we don't let Jesus drive, we're headed for a pole. You know, we're headed to the other, the multitude, amen, it's going to be turned away because Jesus is the pilot. Where is He in your life? Amen, I want to tell you right now, it's time that we realize that the multitude ain't going to make it. Read.
They took Him even as He was in the ship.
And they took Him even as He is into the ship. Oh my, there's something about this beautiful gospel. We don't need to try to change it. Amen. We don't need to try to change it. We need to take it as it is into our life, into our heart. Amen. Into our very being. Amen. This truth was set down for me. It was set down for you. Amen. And we won't make it to the other side if we don't. Amen. Accept Him as He is. We don't need to try to change Jesus. We need to try to change our lives. Amen. To match Him. If we try to change Him, if we try to change the gospel, if we try to change the standards, if we try to change anything about it, honey, all Jesus is the passenger. Amen. But we need to shape up to Him and let Him be the pilot and say, God, I'm going to turn myself and go the way You say. I'm going to be led the way You want to lead.
Oh God.
It don't matter how I want it. It's what You want. God, it's what You want. It's what You want. Amen, amen, amen. Reading.
And there were also with Him other little ships.
And they were what?
And there were also with Him other little ships.
Do you mean to tell me that we're not the only ones that's going to go to the other side? I want to tell you something, Pentecostal Apostolics. I'm not here to bust your bubble, but I am here to tell you we're not the only ones going to make it. Anybody. I don't care where they go to church. I don't care what they say, what they do, or where they go. Anybody that has repented of their sins, has been baptized in Jesus' name, has had the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, speaking with other tongues as the Spirit of God gave the utterance, and they are living a godly life according to this precious book. Amen. If they're living a godly life, amen, that this book talks about, amen, they are going to make it. They don't have to be UPC. They don't have to be WPF. They don't have to be PAW or ALJC. Amen. They're going to make it if they've done what the book says.
That's right.
Now, here's the problem. Here's where I want to verify this now. Please don't take me wrong. Don't get me out of proportion. The problem is that too many times they don't hear about this truth in their other churches. They don't hear they need to be baptized in Jesus' name.
Right.
They don't hear about the fact that they need to receive the infilling of the baptism of the Holy Ghost. They don't hear about the fact of what is a godly, holy, godly, clean life. They don't hear that. That's the problem. But if they did do it, they can make it. There's other little ships
right. That's
going to make it because they did what it said. I hope that you agree. I mean, you can set me down, Pastor. You know, you can set me down. But that's the way I feel because that's Scripture. If they've done what the book says, what the Bible says, and live the way the Bible says, they can make it. They can make it. Please understand, and don't get me wrong, I love the UPC, the United Pentecostal Church International. I love it. It's been good to me. I've been in it all my life. So I love it. I'm not saying anything against it. And I don't want you to think I am in the least bit. But I can tell you it's not the only group that's going.
That's right. I believe that.
And other little ships with him. Read.
And there arose a great storm of wind.
And there arose a great storm in the wind. Of the wind.
And the waves beat into the ship. So that it was now full.
You know what? Now, read the next line. I got to show you this.
And he was in the hinder part of the ship.
And Jesus was in the hinder part of the ship.
Asleep.
Now,
on a pillow.
I thought, why would he go to the hinder part of the ship and just go to sleep? Because he knew, he knows all things. Brother Smith, he knew they was going into a storm.
Yes, he did.
But can I tell you something, friend? He also knew he always completes what he started.
That's right.
If he told them to go to the other side,
come on.
He's going to take them to the other side. He is not going to leave them somewhere in the middle, dumped in the sea. Because he said, go to the other side. He told me that I can make it to the other side. And because of that, I believe I can. But I also believe that in the time, in the means, there's going to be some storms.
That's right.
But I also know Jesus said that he could take me through. Even though the storms might be rough, the ways may be tough, amen, Jesus can take me to the other side. I believe he will with all of my heart. Amen. He is my pilot. And when he is my pilot, amen. But this problem was, he wasn't the pilot. They had took him on as a passenger. So now, when they don't have him as the pilot, they just have him as a passenger, they got into a heap of trouble.
True.
So they said, hey, wait a minute. We got a problem. Our passenger back there, oh my, it's a violent, violent storm. It was one that, amen, the storm seems to be, we don't know what to do. Amen, the storm was there to test their faith. And we don't know what we're going to do. Amen. Here we are. But then I thought about something else when I studied this originally. I noticed something here, Brother Smith, and that was this. How often, the Bible said he was in the hinder part of the ship asleep. You know what that tells me? That tells me that nobody had been talking to him. It's hard to go to sleep when somebody's talking to you.
It's true.
You know? Brother Smith, if you're laying there at night trying to go to sleep, and mama laying there beside you, yakety 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 yak yak yak. Did you dear? You know what? Did you see? Did you hear? Did you not? It's like, will you shut up so I can go to sleep? He's shaking his head. Yeah, he knows what I'm talking about. Or vice versa. It's hard to sleep when somebody don't shut up and leave you alone. It's hard to sleep when somebody's talking to you all the time. Amen. Will somebody please start talking to her? Amen. I'm having fun with you, sis. Amen. But it's hard to sleep when somebody's trying to talk to you. Nobody was talking to Jesus, or he wouldn't have been asleep. Said, you know what? We need to learn to start talking to him in our life. I don't want him to go sleep in my life. I want him to be sitting there at the wheel. Amen. I want him to be driving the ship. I want him to be taking me to the other side. Amen. Just a passenger crowded to the back. Amen. We're talking to him. Amen. But they started talking to him when they got in trouble. Let's don't wait till we get in trouble before we start talking to Jesus. Amen. Let's talk to him. Amen. When the storms is going there or when they're not there. Amen. When he's driving. Amen. my sweet wife, we do a lot of traveling. We do a lot of traveling. But she can get in the car. And she'll tell you, I'm telling the truth now. If I'm a lying, I'm a dying. She can get in the car. And Brother Smith, if she knows we're driving to Walkerton or Bloomington or anywhere, she can virtually, basically, almost be asleep before we get off the campgrounds. You know. And I don't mean that negatively. You know, it's just, and I'm used to it. You know, I look over and my wife don't never snore, never snores, except when we're in the car. She snored twice coming up here yesterday. Because one time it scared me because I wasn't used to her snoring. They go like that and scared her and woke her up. And but you know, and then I thought, you know what? The only time she don't go to sleep is when I'm sitting there talking to her. So if she goes to sleep, it's my fault, you know, because I ought to be talking to her. But I get driving, I just get watching the road or watching signs or watching whatever, and I just don't even think about talking. I just, you know, I'm just so quiet, I don't talk all night. I'm just so bashful, I don't have much to say. I'm lying now. But I just don't think about talking sometimes, you know. We just don't, you know, it's just natural. It just comes, and then I realize, hey, you know, she's just a passenger. And if I don't talk to her, she's going to go to sleep. And oh, God, this is the way it is in our life with Jesus. Friend, I don't know who you are and I don't know what this is all about, but I'm here to tell you one thing. You better let him be the pilot in your life. Amen. You better say, Jesus, you take me the way I need to go. Jesus, if there's something I need in my life, I want you to show me what it is. Amen. I want you. Amen. I want, and then go on and said, they did what now?
And they awake him.
And you know what? Oh, my goodness. I've seen so much in this. What the storm couldn't do, somebody with a need did it. They awake him.
That's good.
The storm, he just slept right on through the storm because he knew he was in control. So he just slept right on through, sis. So let it storm. But somebody came back there with a need. And when somebody had a need, he awake.
That's right.
He awake. Oh, my friend, listen. If you got a need, Jesus is awake. You can wake him. Amen. You can wake him. And they said, what?
And say unto him, Master, carest
Master,
thou not that we perish?
My. That almost, when I read that, I saw something there that almost made me mad. I'm serious. Jesus, the one that left the throne of glory to come down here and take my place at Calvary. Amen. He came down here and robed himself in flesh. Amen. To be tortured and tormented and all of that at Calvary in my place. And somebody said, Master, don't you care? That's like somebody telling. That's like. And I'm just using this for an example. Please understand. I don't mean nothing wrong by it. Please understand that. But that's like all of the trouble. I love this family. I love your pastor's pastor and mom and family. I love them. They mean so much to me. But that would be like Brother Brent Smith, when he gets into a little stomach ache or something like that, and he could go to mom and say, Mom, don't you even care that I'm sick? You know, that would hurt mom's feelings to have somebody think that they didn't care. And Jesus there, he said, Master, carest not that we perish? Don't you even care what happens to us? I want to tell you right now, Jesus cares what happens to you.
Yes, he does.
But he's got to be in the right position. You've got to let him be the pilot.
Right.
Amen. Before you ever realize how much he cares. Amen. Don't just let him go to sleep somewhere in your life. Amen. And then you go and act like it's his fault that you're in trouble.
My.
It's like trying to blame the pastor tries to straighten out your little kid when he was a rug rat. And trying to tell you, you know, you need to do something about this kid. So, you know, you need to take this in his life. You need to change that. You need to take this away from him. You need to keep him out of there. You need, you know, and mom and dad getting mad and say, let us raise our kid by ourselves. Then all of a sudden, when that kid's in trouble big time, first thing they want to do is run to the pastor.
True.
And want to know why he didn't do something about it. That's what they did with Jesus. That's what they did with Jesus. Oh, my. I'm sorry. I didn't aim to get off on something like that. But
that's good.
Carest not that we care. I was thinking about this. And I'm thinking about a wreck. And husband and wife driving down the road. And car come off of the side. And they broadsided. Hit them. Very seriously injured. And if the husband now and the husband would say to the wife, did you see that car coming? Well, yeah, I seen the car coming. Why didn't you yell? Why didn't you say something? Because I was just a passenger. You know? That wouldn't make sense. But I want to tell you something. We need to put Jesus in the rightful position, and we need to do our part as the passenger. We need to do everything in our power as the passenger to keep the pilot in a position where he can lead us and guide us and direct us safely.
That's good.
His job. We need to do our job. If the storm arises, read number 39, I think.
And he arose and rebuked the wind.
If a storm arises, he will too. If a storm comes up, he will too. When the enemy comes in like a flood, he'll be there for our protection.
Yes, he'll
be there to take care of us. Read on.
And he said unto the sea, peace be still.
Peace be still. The word pilot translates from a Greek word, in the dictionary it says, pilot is the person in control of the said vehicle. Let him take control. Let him take control. I'm done, but, you know, not only, just bring him to the front, put him in the captain's chair in your life, say, Jesus, I just want to be the pastor, or the passenger. I want you to be the pilot. I want you to take control. I want you to do what? My. Not only. And read on that 39th verse again. What verse were you just reading?
And the wind ceased.
Uh-huh.
And there was a great calm.
And there was what?
A great calm.
A great calm. Not only. Let me tell you something in your life. And I'm done. Not only does he take away the source. Not only does he take away the source. He also can take away the effects.
True.
Not only did he take away the source of the storm. The Bible said there was a great calm, which means he took away the effect of the storm. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you need in your life. But whatever you are as a young person or a middle-aged person, older person, I don't know. But I can tell you this. If you let Jesus be the pilot in your life, not only will he take away the source of the fear in your life. He can give you the calm and the effect, and take away all the effect of that storm that you'd never know that you, what you went on. And in this, we are in the ocean of life, sailing towards the shores of eternity. It is time that we examine where he's at right in our life. Is he in the captain's chair, or have we just got him riding as a passenger? Let's stand. I don't know what's on in your life, but I know where Jesus should be in your life. We've got to let him be the pilot in our ship. God bless you today.
Hallelujah.